Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Well, I really kind of apologize to you guys, and you've probably been wondering if, like, I just folded the show or what happened. So let me try to catch you guys up, and it's been a minute. I mean, it's been over a month since I've done the show. So last time I remember doing the show, man, I was still really tore up about Briss, and I was having a super hard time just dealing with my life and just dealing with anything, actually. I just didn't want to live. I didn't want to live without him. And I'd been off my meds for a while, and things were getting really sketchy for me. And I was having delusions and hallucinations, and I thought I was seeing him everywhere. And it got kind of freaky, and I had a neighbor who faux-friended me just to, like, basically set me up, and something went down between us, and it just kind of fed that paranoia in my head about, you know, bad shit coming. And I had a major delusion that she had, you know, called sheriffs on me and said that I had ruined her trailer that she was selling to our new neighbors now, and that she had told everybody in the neighborhood that I was on heroin, which, I mean, as you all know, I've messed around with shit and everything, but heroin, opioids are not my deal. And, you know, especially after what happened with Briss and, you know, well, there's a lot to that too, but, you know, his suicide and his addictions and everything, the last thing that I would ever in my life want to do is heroin. So I thought it was real though, you know, those of us that have these hallucinations and delusions and stuff like that. I mean, it is absolutely real. And yeah. So anyway, I thought I was going, it's a long story. So in this delusion, she called sheriffs, and it was late at night. And, because I had turned my lights off and everything, because I was paranoid anyway, the sheriffs weren't going to come to bother me because they knew I was sleeping, right? This is so illogical. But nonetheless, I didn't delete my Facebook. I can't remember what the word is right now. It's really late and I'm tired. But I wanted to get this podcast in because I keep on procrastinating it. And it's just like, you got to get this show going, girls. Like, you know, there's stuff I got to do to help y'all and stuff. And, you know, and I'm just procrastinating it. So anyway, I had the delusion that, you know, she was going to have me arrested. So in this delusion, I heard the sheriffs outside my house reading my Facebook posts one by one by one by one. You know, and it's like funny. It's kind of funny now, and I can laugh a little bit because it's just so illogical. But at the time, man, I was like underneath my covers, literally covering any light from my phone and taking down my Facebook. And I took down a lot of the episodes of this that I did put back up. So everything is all out of order now. So, you know, I totally screwed the pooch on that. But, you know, I guess if you look at the dates on the show notes and stuff like that, it will, you know, you can figure it out. But I they're all out of order. Everything, I just lurped everything up majorly. So I'm this night, you know, and I'm freaking out, and I'm thinking my neighbors are on one side of my house, like trying to talk to me through the wall and telling me that the sheriffs are there and everything. And oh my god, so crazy, right? And so I didn't sleep that night, and because I was panicked, you know, and just waiting and waiting. And I thought that that she had never left, and that she was like still fighting them to go in the cop car. So like I was waiting for her to leave so I could turn lights on and, like, you know, pack clothes and stuff, because my big plan was I was going to go to Crisis and avoid cops while everything kind of cooled down a little bit, and, you know, have them do a UA on me so they could prove that I wasn't on heroin and all this crazy shit. So that morning, you know, in the dark, oh my god, excuse me, and I'm making coffee and shit like that, and just trying to maintain. And I have Peanut, and I'm like, I'm bringing him with me because I can't leave him here because she might poison him and all this and all that. And I go outside, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong. If there was cops out here, there would be tire tracks, there would be footprints, there would be people still lurking around trying to figure out what was going on, and none of that was going on. So I rushed Peanut back in the house, and I kind of sat down, and I'm just kind of like, yep, here we go again. You know, here we go. This is just like the home invasion last year. Well, not like the home invasion was terrifying. This was not as terrifying, but, you know, the same delusional thing that, you know, I'm in danger and people are trying to hurt me, and none of it was true. So I did call crisis because I was already having trouble anyway. And a couple days prior to that, in a desperate attempt to sleep, and I don't know what I was thinking, hoping that I really don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking, you know, I was hoping to have a heart attack or a stroke or something. I took all the rest of my my anti-anxiety medication, which I didn't have that much, which is weird because of all the stockpiling of pills I still have. And I still keep telling everybody I'm going to bring them to the pharmacist, or I'm going to have the sheriffs come and pick them up for me. And I still have them, and I have got to get rid of them. It wasn't enough to do anything except, like, make me sleep. But I know, I know that's a super, super bad indication that I am in trouble. Serious trouble. You know, I'm seeing Briss everywhere. He's deceased, you know, he's like, he's not here anymore, but I'm seeing him everywhere. I'm talking to him. He's talking to me. He's scaring the shit out of me, and he's just like appearing out of nowhere, but he's dead. Okay. No Briss. So I went inpatient for a week. You know, I always tell you guys, don't be afraid to ask for help. It's brave to ask for help, and it's brave to know when you are falling down the cliff and you need help. You know, I didn't want to die. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to, period. I just was not functioning. I wasn't eating. I wasn't showering. I wasn't brushing my hair. I wasn't walking the dog. I wasn't feeding the dog. I wasn't doing anything. I was just basically sitting on my bed, like in a zombification state, talking to a dead man. Right? It sounds crazy. It is crazy, right? But the stress of him committing suicide and all the stress that was put on me after that from other people in the neighborhood and the kids and stuff, because everybody, not everybody, but he was well loved, and he's missing, you know. It's evident that he is not around. There is a huge hole in the trailer park that Briss filled. And, I mean, it lessens every day. But, you know, going inpatient for a week and getting away from here and everybody and just having some time to, first of all, get stabilized on medication. And then secondly, to just have some time away from everything to just accept it, or I guess I have accepted it, and I did leave the hospital with a sense of acceptance and a knowing that I had to keep going on, that dying was definitely not going to help anything, that all the people that are brokenhearted over him, you know, a lot of them care about me too, and a double whammy of that, you know, it just wouldn't have been right. I mean, and, you know, I've committed suicide before, and I always said it was the most selfish thing I've ever done. And, you know, I don't look at it that way for Briss, because there was just so much other shit going on, and his addictions were out of control. And, you know, I had mentioned before that his niece had been molested, and his dealer was the guy that molested his niece, and it got all messy. And, you know, and then when I stopped talking to him after, you know, kind of like when Doc was dying and everything, and then he just never came through for me and didn't help me, you know, dig Doc's grave or any of that stuff, and he just kind of like disappeared. You know, I don't know that he hadn't started doing heroin because he couldn't get the morphine anymore because the guy was in jail for molesting his niece. And there's so many things I just don't know, but I do know that his addictions were a demon in his life, and that, you know, he was, like, selling out, you know, and he was doing things that I know were just morally just wrong for him. And he was just doing things to get the drugs that he, under normal circumstances, he just never, ever, ever would have done that. You know, any of y'all that have had an addiction or known somebody with an addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it is just like, you just can't, you just have to feed it. You have to take care of it. And at a point of selling yourself out to take care of it because you're so sick. And he was there, you know, he was there. I mean, I hadn't seen him in, you know, two-ish weeks, you know, before he committed suicide. But even at the time when Doc was dying and Doc died, he was already headlong into it. I mean, it was time for rehab in July, and, you know, come September, you know, we all know how that snowballs. So, you know, and I've come to a lot of realizations about that, and accepting the fact that he was an addict has actually made it a lot easier for me to accept his death, because as an addict, I understand that, you know, and I'm still a little mad at him for not coming to me, but I get it, you know, and I just have to, I've had to accept it, you know, and grief therapy is helping, though. The first couple weeks of it, and then I went inpatient, were like horrible. They were just the most awful experiences of my life, and I would just cry all the way through the group, and, you know, all I was doing was crying, basically. I mean, anywhere I went, I was just crying. I just could not deal. I just was not handling the fact that he was gone, the doc was gone, and that everything in my life that I had based all my future and foundation and wishes and, you know, manifestations on were gone. It was never going to happen the way that I had wished for it to happen, you know. And legitimately, you know, Bruce was much younger than me, and I wanted to marry him. I wish I would have married that boy, but, you know, I mean, I logically knew that that was not going to happen, that he was going to find himself, you know, a younger girl or a girl his age, and he was going to have his family, and I was going to be very supportive of that because I wanted him to be happy. So him dying, you know, it didn't fit any of the plans, none of them. People are still heartbroken out here, and the kids are still, you know, we bring them up now and we can talk about them a little bit more, but it's a subject that we still kind of hedge away from because it's raw, you know. And Christmas and Thanksgiving are coming up, and last year he gave me the best holidays I've ever had in my life just by the silliest things of Christmas lights and just him, you know. And this year I'm getting Thanksgiving dinner delivered to my house from a local restaurant, and I have no idea what's going down for Christmas. It's not my favorite holiday anyway, so I mean, I could easily just sleep through it or do homework through it, or, you know, just hang with the dog and the cats and, you know, and stuff like that. I don't have to be around people for the holidays. It's easier for me not to be. But last year was such an anomaly with him, and it was just something I had never experienced, you know, and it won't be happening again this year. This year is, man, you know, I am doing better, guys. I really am. It's just, I haven't talked about him in a minute, and, you know, it still hurts that he's not here, and I still keep expecting him to come bashing through my sliding glass doors and, like, break them, and I just wish things had gone differently, you know. We all have these things in our lives that we can't repair them because it's done, and, you know, his suicide will always be an unanswered question to me of what actually went down in that car, you know. And I can't ask anybody because I pretty much just isolated myself from his family now, and they're just all the same. They haven't changed at all. They're all still just partying and drinking and just acting like assholes, and it's like Bruce's death did not affect them in any way, shape, or form. It's as if he was just like nobody to them, that he was somebody that they, you know, ran their cart into at Walmart and just kept on going. And he was just like, he just didn't affect their lives at all. And for me, his effect on my life was so massive that I would never be the same, you know? And I mean, and he changed me in good ways. You know, he did. I mean, he hurt me sometimes. I'm not gonna lie, he was a dick sometimes. And when he was on morphine, he was a fucking cruel, cruel person. But I had seen him, you know, and I knew him, and I knew that wasn't him. It was the drugs, and I had talked to him about rehab, and he had to save face, you know, with his family and these other people that party out here, and he couldn't show weakness that he wanted to be well, you know. He could have been a world-class artist. He could have been anything in the world that he wanted to be, and he just kept himself small for his family so that, you know, he would fit in, I guess is the best way to put it, you know. I don't think it was that important for him to fit in, but I think it was that important for his family to have him fit in. And I think he knew that, and I think he played the role in such a sacrificial way that he gave his life up, you know. And there's a lot of people that I put some blame on for him. I mean, the guy that sold him the pills to start with, the child molester, you know. I mean, I really sometimes wonder that if they had just ended that asshole's life instead of what did happen, how different would things be? I mean, maybe Christopher would be in jail, and I mean, I don't know these things, but I just think it would have absolved a lot of stuff for him that, you know, he carried after that about guilt and just shame and, you know, and fear of not being like his family, you know, and doing better. And he was such an awesome dude. You know, my life will never be the same because of him. And I am grateful for that. So, what else is going on? School still happening. I'm still taking this Theo humanism class, which, fuck. It's so above my head. I'm trying so hard. I looked the professor up on Rate My Professor. You know, it's out of Georgetown. So, I mean, of course, it's, you know, it's a good school to begin with. And it's like, and so I'm taking a class from one of the hardest professors out of Georgetown. And even in there, they're just like, he is the hardest grader. And I'm like, oh my God. Because, you know, we have all these discussions per module. I've never written so much for an online course in my life. And they all mentioned that in the class, that he is like, everybody's writing will improve by the end of the class. Well, the other people that are online taking this class with me, I would disagree with that completely. They, you know, and maybe it's just because I'm such a perfectionist, and because I'm so just trying to excel at something right now, because I feel like I failed him, that these discussion questions are something like, you know, you should just be able to, like, you know, 10 minutes and answer it and then go on to the next part of the class, right? And me, no, I'm researching and, you know, looking shit up in dictionary and, like, writing it out, and, you know, and it's like a thesis, you know, for a discussion question. And I'm really just hoping that this guy, this Professor Heck, at some point just, like, drops me a penny, you know, and just lets me know that he actually is reading my discussions, because, oh my God, I'm spending so much time on it, you know. And not today, I did not. I got caught up on Parler last night, and I'm not saying I'm a Trumper, and I'm not saying any of this. I'm just saying I am a proud American. I am a U.S. Air Force veteran, and I am a believer in Christ, and I really just want our country to come together and stop this bickering and bullshit and division that is just actually getting worse now that the election is so screwed. So, I got caught on Parler last night with a whole lot of stuff, and it's not just all election stuff. I mean, there's stuff on there about COVID and China and Afghanistan and all this news that you never hear anywhere else. And I was just mesmerized. And then, you know, so I was overtired all day. And then I got caught up on starting a group on Facebook for Dancing with Bipolar. And any of you all want to join it, it's still public right now. I'm going to change that really soon, like probably tomorrow, and make it private, because, you know, it's what we're going to be talking about is private and not the public. It's just something that you don't need every Joe Schmo coming upon and, you know, having something to use against you if you have that kind of asshole people around your life. So, but it's called Dawn Shireen's Dancing with Bipolar Posse. And, you know, feel free to join. You know, it's easily found on Facebook if I don't get banned from Facebook, because I actually got my first Facebook reprimand today telling one of these bitches from high school who still thinks that she is the fucking cat's meow and she is a fucking loser piece of shit. And I just let it go, and I actually, you know, broke their standards, which is hilarious when you think about all the shit on Facebook that you see. And because I called her a bitch, I broke, you know, Facebook standards. But it was also because, you know, she was supporting Biden and his whatever was going on there and bashing Trump supporters. And I bashed her. So I'm the one who got in trouble because Zuckerberg is not a Republican. Okay, let's just leave it at that. He's not a Trump supporter. So I don't want to get into politics. It's one of those things. And that's one of the things on the group, is that there is no politics whatsoever. So any of y'all listening, just, you know, if you give it a shot, look at it. I still have yet to update the bipolar.com. I have just, like I said, I lost it, man. I went down for weeks, and I'm just literally getting back on my feet again. I got out of the hospital 2 weeks ago, and I'm just starting to feel better, walking Peanut again and eating. And I actually like swept my floor the other day. Like, oh my God, I need to do laundry, like 100,000 loads of laundry, and I need to do dishes and stuff like that. I'm just taking it at my time. And I know my, it actually doesn't look so bad right now. The floor was disgusting. I couldn't believe it. It was like, took me almost an hour to sweep my floor, and it was just like, holy shit, Dawn, what was going on? I mean, I know what was going on. You all know what was going on. Those of you that have experienced that, like, absolute black depression abyss where, you know, it's like you're in a submarine so far under the water that everything is just black and cold and you can't breathe because it's so much pressure, and it's, y'all know what I'm talking about. So anyway, that's the updates on that. I want to thank Brazil. Hello. Awesome. You know, and all my other favorite countries. China, I've actually ranked in China. Russia, you're one of my old standbys. I haven't done a show in a really, really long time. So when I saw that I ranked in Brazil, it was like, wow, okay, well, that's cool. The show's on a whole lot of new platforms. I got stuff coming on. My friend David Kane will be on December 4th talking about his organization, BreakingChains.org, which is amazing. If you are on my Facebook, I don't know how many of y'all are my friends. I've got an awful lot of people, an influx of people that have friended me lately. So I don't know who and what, and it doesn't really matter to me if you, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're my friend, you're my friend. But if you can check out his website before I interview him. But I've known David for a year or so, and he also suffered a tragic loss this year of his beloved Lindy, who died of cancer. So we have a little bit more in common than, you know, just wanting to change the world with our efforts. He's a really cool dude, awesome musician. And we'll see if I can get him to, you know, maybe do a live acoustic set or something like that, you know, and we'll see how it goes. But anyway, December 4th is the planned date. And, you know, there's other stuff that was supposed to be going on, and I just keep on dropping interviews, and I have to pull it back together again. And it feels really good to talk to you guys and like let you know what's going on. And I'm okay. I'm getting better than ever. I'm laughing again. I'm smiling. I can listen to music again without like losing my shit. And I'm getting there, guys. Okay. I'm not going to say this was an easy road. It was not. I losing Christopher was one of the hardest things I've ever had to experience in my life. Seriously. I loved him so much, even with all his faults and downfalls and being a dick. And, you know, I loved him with all my heart. And there's a piece of him, you know, I mean, I know a lot of you have lost people to COVID this year. It's been a bad year for loss. I'm going to say, if you haven't lost somebody that you loved this year, or a very close associate to somebody that you love, you are an exception to the rule this year. It has just been a year of loss. I mean, not just people, but jobs and houses and money and status. And, you know, there's so many people committing suicide due to COVID. And I'm not alone in this, you know, and I know I'm not alone in this. And I empathize with any of you out there that have lost somebody that you love this year, because it sucks. unexpected and just gone, you know, and losing Doc too. It was just a double, and then being assaulted and kidnapped and all that shit. I mean, it was just that, you know, that 2.5 month period of time was just hell on earth for me, but I'm getting back on my feet again, guys. The show's going to start getting on a regular basis. I'm going to start having great guest interviews on again. It's not all going to be sad and me crying. We're going to get back to the mission of making shit right and destigmatizing mental health issues and, just becoming a force to reckon with in our desire to be well and show people that just because we have a mental health issue doesn't mean that we are dangerous. And, yeah, that's really what it is. And of course, my suicide drive, especially now that Christopher has died, is, I really need to do something to help to deter this or just something because, I mean, the amount of veterans and it's rampant. It's an epidemic and it has to stop. We have to start saving our loved ones and we have to let people know that we appreciate them and that it can get better. It always does get better. You just gotta get through that part where you just can't breathe. And, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. This group is probably my attempt to help to reach out to people over Christmas this year that, you know, may not have any other safe place to go and feel safe and just be, you know, and that's what I want the group to be. I want it to be a safe place. I want friends to be made and I want us to support each other and, you know, and just really pull together as a team, as a united force, and just show that we can change the world and we can change the face of mental health. Each of us, you know, we're all unique, we're all special, we all have something, and we're all awesome, and we can teach people to not be scared. So, wow, that went for a long time. I'm exhausted. I don't know what time it is, but I haven't slept in a minute, and let's see. Oh, it's almost 4 o'clock in the morning. So, yep, I think it's probably a good time to shut this down and go to sleep. I want to thank you all for listening. The stats are down a little bit, but of course they are because I haven't done a show in forever. I know you guys will pick it back up again. I love you all. And, hey, let's all stay alive. All right? Later.
Hi, this is Dawn Shireen with Dancing with Bipolar, and I wanted to tell you why I chose Anchor to make my podcast. First, Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. They give you everything you need for free in one place where you can record with either your phone or your computer. Anchor gives you creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. So just in case your baby starts crying or your dog starts barking or your neighbor is ringing your doorbell, you can edit that stuff out and make your podcast sound flawless. Anchor gives you distribution for free, again, for free. It can be heard on every podcast distribution, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, etc. You can easily make money with your Anchor account with no minimum listenership. So, download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Again, start your own podcast with Anchor by downloading the app or going to anchor.fm to get started. Let me tell you, this is a piece of cake. This is Dawn Shireen from Dancing with Bipolar. Make your own podcast. Do it.